19, beginning in verse 9. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Now turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I'd like to read you from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, where Jesus was quoting from. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And now for the reading from the epistles from Colossians 3. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. It's the first Sabbath in the new year, and I can't think of any better way to begin the new year than by focusing upon the Word of God. And so the subject this morning is God's Word in my life. In your life, in our life. The Apostle Paul, there in Colossians 3:16, said, you know, this is the center and the core and the source, the motivation, the reason for all of the fellowship that we have among each other. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms with gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. He equated the word of Christ with the psalms. And Christ himself said in the midst of that temptation there on the Mount of Temptation, when Satan was really hitting him and he was so hungry, and Satan said, why don't you just change those stones into bread right now? Go ahead, get something to eat. Prove that you're God, if thou be the Son of God. Do it. Go ahead, do that. And Jesus shot from the hip. I don't find that he went back and said, now this situation reminds me of the situation that the children of Israel were in back there in Deuteronomy when they were so hungry and they needed food and they were grumbling against God. And God said, let me see if I can find the place for that, someplace back there in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 13, where he said, God humbled you because you were hungry, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out. I don't find that Jesus went back to recount the historical situation in which God's people had been involved at the instant that they were hungry and there was no way out, but God provided them a way out that nobody had ever thought of before. I don't find that Jesus went back to recount all that. I find that the only thing Jesus did was just shoot from the hip. It's said back there, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out of the mouth of the Father. At the instant of his temptation, Jesus' mind just automatically went back to the Scriptures. It came to him. The Scriptures that he had memorized there in Nazareth when he was in their Bible school program just came to mind. They just were right there on the spur of the moment. So God is saying here that his word is essential as bread, and it's the very basis for all of our fellowship together. It's essential in the vertical dimension for our relationship to God. It's essential in the horizontal dimension in our fellowship with each other. And I couldn't think of any chapter in the Bible that has more to say about the Word of God than the 119th Psalm. In fact, the old German version, written in German, of this particular Psalm, it's a poor translation, but I'll give it to you. It's the Christian's golden ABC of the praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God. That's the way the old Germans saw it. The Christian's ABC of the praise, love, power, and use of the Word of God. That's how they saw Psalm 119. It's God's own description of the inexhaustible fullness of the Word of God and of how we are to behave in response to God's Word. There are 176 verses in that 119th Psalm. And there's only one verse, verse 122, which does not actually say the word, meaning Scripture, or some other synonym for it. It's full of the subject of the Word of God. And God wrote it to be memorized. The 119th Psalm is in the form of an alphabetical acrostic. There are 22 letters in that alphabet. There are 8 lines under each one of those subjects. And each one of the lines in each section begins with the alphabet letter for that line. There are 8 alephs. There are 8 bates, there are 8 gimels, there are 8 dolophs, hey, wav, and so forth. There are 8 lines under each one of those sections, and each one of the lines began with the letter of the alphabet that section fit under. And they don't just repeat themselves and go in circles. Under the 8 olives, God praises his word and the faithfulness of his word, always faithful. No matter where it is, it'll always accomplish whatever he pleases. Under the 8 bates, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, he describes the virtue of the word to the young man who really needs to be held close to God and God's word. And under the 8 gimels, he leads us to pray for rescue in the midst of ridicule and bitter persecution, temptation. There's good evidence that the psalm itself, the 119th psalm, was written by a man who was either undergoing a terrific amount of ridicule and persecution and temptation, or probably was in prison. The whole 119th psalm. He didn't have anything else except the word of God to think on. And so God used those circumstances in his life to cause him to write this particular chapter. And yet it was the Holy Spirit who did the writing. It wasn't the man. It was God who was doing it. Ruskin was one of the great English authors, a man who influenced the thinkers of his time. And Ruskin said this about this particular psalm. "It is strange that of all the pieces of the Bible which my mother has taught me, that which cost me most to learn, and which was, to my child's mind, chiefly repulsive, the 119th Psalm, has now become of all the most precious to me in its overflowing and glorious passion of love for the law of God." He went on to say that in the Psalms he found the total compendium of all wisdom. And so I thought we'd memorize the 119th Psalm. I thought that would be a good project for us to undertake as a congregation for the month of January. The 119th Psalm. And that's why the insert is in your bulletin. I'll pull in my horns just a minute. We're only going to memorize the second part, the bass part. But we'll be singing this every morning from here on, and sometimes in the evening too. And Dean, whenever you can find an opportunity to throw it in, that's why it's there. So please take it out and follow with me in it now. This will be an important part of everything we're saying this morning. It's so you can take it home as a family and work on it together as an apartment or as a single. I don't care where you are or what it is. If you need any lessons in how to sing it alone, solo, ask Jim McMahon. He could teach you on how to do that. He's mastered that particular art. And I've heard God use those in his life in that. But this is the second part. Four stanzas there, making up the second part, the base part of the 119th Psalm, and there are four topics. God's Word in stanza 1, cleansing my way. Stanza 2, God's Word treasured in my heart. Stanza 3, God's Word declared on my lips. And stanza 4, God's Word, the focus of my meditations. Stanza 1, God's Word cleansing my ways. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Let him with care thy word observe. With all my heart I have thee sought. From thy commands let me not swerve. What do you do when you've sinned? I don't care how it is. You've sinned. Maybe you saw deliberately God said don't do that and you went and did it. Maybe it just sort of crept up on you and you found out after the fact, you know, I sinned. That is sin. There's no other way of defining it. That's sin. Maybe it was something you knew God wanted you to do, but you just didn't do it. I don't care what it is. What do you do after you find that you're in that position? What do you do? God says, here's what to do. How shall a young man cleanse his way? How does he cleanse his way? I'll ask the question, God says, and then I'll give the answer that I want you to make. And how gracious our God is. He even words the answer that he wants us to make. Let him with care thy word observe. But the word observe does not mean just to look on. That's what he's an observer. There's some participants, and then there are others who are just observers. No, no. That's not what the word observe means here. It means you do. You keep. You seek God, and you seek him with a whole heart. Like a heat-seeking missile. It never misses. No matter where that airplane goes, that heat-seeking missile is right on top of it. With all my heart I have thee sought. From thy commands I will not swerve. Like keeping your eye on the ball when you're up at bat. It's intense concentration. The word for cleanse is to discipline the eye. To focus that eye, to keep a sharp eye, really to narrow the eye, to concentrate, God says, on my commands. Look sharp. Don't miss a turn. There are five different synonyms for the word scripture in these four stanzas. In the first stanza there, it's the word commands. Really, that same word is translated commandments elsewhere. A commandment is a charge that's laid upon men by the expression of God's will. It's the expression, really, of God's character. God has determined to do such and such. And as a result of that, you and I are to fit in with his plan. That's a command. And really, there's only one response to a command. Either you say, I will, or you say, I won't. It boils it down to a sharp response. So here, God's putting the very words into our mouths, words that he wrote, words that will cleanse our ways. With all my heart I have thee sought. From thy commands let me not swerve. God's word and our response to his commands, that's the thing that cleanses our life. Of course, the one command there is confess our sin. And he will be faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's not easy to do. Judas killed himself rather than do that. So did King Saul. Killed himself rather than ask God's forgiveness. When I commit myself to the commandments, then I will not swerve, and my life will be cleansed. How shall a young man cleanse his way? God says, there's your answer. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is the thing. Stanza 2, God's word treasured in my heart. Keeps me from offending God, is one of God's ways of teaching me. If stanza 1's remedial, dealing with what happens after I've sinned, then stanza 2 is preventative. How is it that I keep from sinning? And that's by hiding God's word in my heart so that it'll always be just as near to me as my heart is. And that's what Jesus used there. He didn't have time to go hunt for his Bible. You know the old shootout at the corral in the cowboy stories of where the man is suddenly confronted with a gun and it's aimed directly at his head. And it's coming up to shoot, and the man's pulling the trigger, and he really doesn't have time to see if he has a gun down here, and then pull it out and make sure it's all armed, and the hammer is pulled back, and it's aimed correctly, and you don't have time to do that. And Jesus didn't have time to go back into all that background where God first used those words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word to proceed out of the mouth of God. He had it in his mind. It was in his heart. So he was able to shoot from the hip. It was exactly the thing that was needed. Because it was in his heart, he had the answer to the temptation of that particular instant. And here God uses the word statutes, specifically stated laws that are engraven and written for my particular situation. Not like the laws of gravity. These laws apply to everyone. But this is more like a specific city ordinance. A hospital zone on a particular address. Here God says, I want you to get closer and closer to become more and more specific as you see not only what it says, but how what it says applies to your life. Stanza 1, God's word in my ways. Stanza 2, God's word in my heart. Stanza 3, God's word on my lips. See where it comes from there? I with my lips have oft declared the judgments which thy mouth has shown. More joy thy testimonies gave than all the riches I have known. Here God uses two synonyms, judgments and testimonies. Judgments are cases that are already decided by God. God's own interpretation of his own laws. We have a case law today. In fact, that's the way law schools teach law today. They find out what all the law's case studies are on the various subjects. And then that is the thing that determines what the future law is. So God's judgments are the basis his decisions concerning right and wrong, which give expression to his righteousness and put his righteousness into practice right where we live. Testimonies are a more subjective thing. They are the descriptions of how God has dealt in my own life with me. Testimonies. What's God done in the past year in your own life? As I become what the Apostle Paul called a living epistle, God keeps changing me. This is my testimony. I live it, and I also speak it. This is what makes me sure. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. As I see the way that word is lived in his life, as I see how a living God changes his life, then I know that this is what God wants me to be concerned about, and he can do some of the same changes in my own life. The testimonies make me sure. And this is what CBMC testimony does. People know that it's for real, because that man couldn't have changed himself the way he's been changed. There is a living God, and the living God speaks through a living word, and it makes a living response. That testimony goes out in two directions. It goes out in direction of God when God's word is on our lips and we appeal to him in prayer and in praise. That's one direction for that testimony to go out on our lips. The other direction is horizontally, as we speak what we know because of the experiences we've been through. We share what we call a witness or a testimony with other people. God's words on my lips. And stanza four, God's word in the focus of my meditations. And here God uses the word precepts, rules and counsels, guidelines, words that keep me in line, within the boundaries, in the various circumstances within which he places me. And each one of us is in a different situation, different set of circumstances. But God lays down the boundaries for us. And those are the precepts. And the word meditate means to talk it over and to think it over. When the word is deep in my heart and I begin to do something that's not right, the word itself will begin to talk to me. It's not just that I talk it. It talks to me. And the word says, where are you going? I said, where am I going? I'm going here. The word says, but what about what I said? I said, well, who's talking to me? Well, when the word is hidden in a person's life, as it was in Jesus, Satan said, why don't you go ahead and make those stones into bread? You're hungry, and you have to have a body in order to live. This is just a physical necessity. Jesus said, wait a minute. And I think he was probably 40 days without food. Well, that's true. That is a high priority that I would have a body to go to the cross with. I know that. But way back there once before in the desert and the children of Israel and a whole nation of people, and they didn't have any food and there wasn't any way for them to get any food. But God provided manna, which none of them had ever even heard of before. God does have an answer here. I may not know what it is, but the Father has an answer here. But all he could think of was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And because that word was hidden in his heart, was part of his very life, was close to him as breath itself, the word meditated back to him. That's what the word meditation means. Four stanzas, just one of 22 sections, wherein God is making it so easy for you and me to make the kind of a response to him that is a praise of him, but that is also necessary for us. The attitudes that God wants us to have, with all my heart I have these sought, that I give no offense to thee. More joy than all the riches I could ever know. Those are the attitudes he wants us to have towards his word. And the actions. Thy word I have treasured in my heart. Treasured. It's so valuable that I just can't keep myself from learning it. That's how valuable that word is. I with my lips have oft declared. That's a commitment. Be careful of that. I'll on thy precepts meditate and have respect to all thy ways. I will think about them and I'll bring it to the point where they will think about me and they'll talk to me. And thy word remember all my days. You notice how easy it is God makes it for us to give the kind of response to Him. It's not only a praise of Him, but that is necessary for us. He words it in the first person singular so that you and I can sing the response back to Him that He wants. I'd like you to think of these four stanzas as you're memorizing them this week, and then we'll come back and see how we can do. Now, there'll be people here next week who weren't here this week. And so let's make them feel at home, and yet if you need to, hold the book up in front of you so that people will know you're paying attention next week. But hold the book up in front of you, just turn to another page. They won't know that you're looking at some other page. But by this time next week, you'll know the four stanzas. God's Word in my life, so I can live it. God's Word in my heart, so I can know it. God's Word on my lips, so I can speak it. God's Word in my meditations, so I can hear it. No matter where I am or what I'm doing. Now that's a kind of an outline, and I don't know about you, but if I can get the first words or the first line of any psalm that I'm memorizing, then the rest of it comes easier. But that little outline, I think maybe would help a little bit there. There are many ways that we have of getting God's Word into our lives. By the preached Word, we hear it. By the printed page, we read it. By various methods, we study it. By memorization, we write it on the tables of our heart. By meditation, we make it our own. When the thumb goes down, then the fingers won't come out. We're preaching the Word here every Sabbath morning, and in the classes, we're learning it. By the preached Word, we hear it. You're reading the Word, I'd encourage you to go ahead and read through the Bible again this year. What if I asked for a show of hands? How many of you are reading through the Bible this year? If you aren't, why don't you think about it now? Why don't you think about it? Memorization. Well, we're all memorizing, so you have that one going for you right now. And please encourage everybody else on that same subject. And by all means, don't stop your other memorization program just to begin this one. Memorization is sort of an infectious thing. The more you do of it, the easier it gets. And so don't drop another one just to pick this one up. This one you'll just learn along because you can't help it. Everybody else will be doing it. And that's what we want as a congregation. Various methods you study it. Lots of different studies going on. Make sure you're in one of those this year, New Year. By meditation, you make it your own. Now, up until the time you get that thumb down there, you can pull that finger out. But once you get that thumb down, that sort of locks it in. By meditation, where you're not just rote memorizing words, rote, rot, rot, you know that one. But where you're understanding what you memorize, thinking it through, as we've been trying to do here this morning. Pray with me now in making your own commitment to learning God's Word throughout this new year. God, we come to you as those who know you, as those who want to know more of you, as newborn babes desiring the sincere milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby. God, bless us each one as we would make commitment to you. God, hear each one of us as we would make commitment just now to be in your house each morning, each Sabbath morning, to hear your word. God, hear each person just now as they would make commitment to read your word in some kind of a regular reading schedule throughout this next year.
God, hear the commitments being made to you by men and women, boys and girls, to memorize your word, beginning with this psalm, but going on. God, hear the commitments to do a diligent study, consistent throughout this new year of 1985, in the study of your word. And God bless each one of us as we would agree with you to meditate on your word. Now, Lord, you've said that where the word of the king is, there is power. And that your word would never go out and return to you void, but it would always accomplish just whatever you please and prosper in the thing where to you sent it. So, God, we'd look around with real excitement to see the changes that you're going to bring into each one of our lives and to hearing about those through the year. God, bless us as we would find your word cleansing our ways, as we would find your word on our lips in praise to you and in witness to others, as we would find your word deep in our hearts, as we would find your word the focus of our meditations. God, we look forward to that which you're going to say and do to us through your word this year. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now guess what we're going to sing right now, and you won't even need to open the psalm book. You have it right in front of you. Get used to using this, and let's rise and sing together from Psalm 119b. God, the love of Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be and abide with every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.
And blessed be his glorious